Welcome to our first Ask the Expert podcast with Zebra Technologies, and we're excited to have Drew Ehlers with us. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Therese. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, we are thrilled that you are our first guest on our Zebra podcast on our Your Edge blog.
It's always good to be the first.
So we're excited to talk with you about Zebra's new global futurist role, which you are now filling. And let us know, how do you feel about that? What do you see for the future?
Well, first of all, to dispel the rumors, I am not a hologram. I'm actually here, so I'm not that much in the future. But it's an interesting role, and I think that it's really interesting to see Zebra invest in the space. As we continue to evolve as a company, it's good to take over this role and really kind of sink my teeth into it to look at what is going to happen in the future, mm-hmm. and then see how that ties back to our core business and how we should evolve with it. And then within the industry, to find out what are some macro trends that have some tailwinds behind it so that we can latch on to those and continue to build out our strategy.
And it's not so much predicting what will happen in the future, it's what could happen, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So it's not necessarily what you're going to think of, you know, is there going to be a UFO that's going to land on planet Earth? It's more of, you know, what do we see now? What do we see kind of in the near future? And how does it tie together to see what is possible?
Mm-hmm. And how does this tie to your current role with Zebra?
So my current role is very exciting. It's basically a part of a startup inside of Zebra, out of the CTO office in enterprise software, where we're taking and synthesizing data and bringing into very meaningful insights on the application layer and feeding those up so that our customers and our partners can continue to build new generational solutions to solve problems for and create outcomes that they couldn't do before. And it really helps extend the value of the core portfolio that we have today.
Mm-hmm. So how will this role as our global futurist enhance what you do today?
What really keeps me in tune with what's going on is looking at those trends and then figuring out how can we get from today to tomorrow to after tomorrow, right? And figuring out how we can strategize to get there as a company and as a team within Zebra.
Mm-hmm. What are the biggest opportunities you think companies will face in the next 3 to 5 years based on some of the industry trends that you mentioned?
You know, I think that we're moving at a pace that we haven't seen before. Things are changing very much in a liquid fashion. Where expectations are becoming a very much of an on-demand reality. I know we talk a lot about the on-demand economy, mm-hmm. but it's really becoming this on-demand reality where expectations are way up here, and there's a lot of people that are catching up. And I think that over the next 3 to 5 years, it's really going to have companies that have to either keep pace, and they're going to keep leapfrogging each other, as you're seeing with some of the folks that are customers today, mm-hmm. Especially in the retail channel, mm-hmm. As you continue to bring that unique experience, whether it's in store or on the digital front, from that perspective. So I think they're gonna have to continue to look at what the trends are. And we just had a meeting last week with a large retailer that's a customer today. And the interesting thing was is that they paused the meeting, and this new talent that they brought in from Amazon, she was fascinating, and she paused the meeting. She goes, "What can we do today together that brings high value to my customers, but brings headlines to my media, my investors?" Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very forward way of looking at things, but also really focusing on what can we do together and what problems can we solve for that ties value back to that customer experience. So I think that really figuring out what the pace is and figure out, do I wanna be a leader in a category? Do I kinda wanna be second in? Or am I going to be a laggard? And people kind of place their bets based upon that, and mm-hmm. it really comes back to the way that they think about the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And to answer her question, that would truly take groups from throughout Zebra to come up with the right strategy, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, where we landed on there, and it's kind of a new way of thinking with the way that we're engaging with our partners and our customers, is having these ideation sessions and really taking, you know, blank whiteboards all around and kind of thinking about ideals and really listing out what are the problems that you're focused on for the next 3 to 5 years, and then how can we jointly solve them? And if there's missing components, are there different areas that we can help complement with our partner ecosystem to bring that in to drive the value and solve the problem and create that outcome that they're looking for?
Mm-hmm. Are the technology architectures in place today going to be sufficient to address new opportunities for customers?
The answer is yes and no. I think that the technology architecture today has a lot of technical debt to it. So customers have made investments that don't necessarily operate well with the new architecture. So there's some technical debt there. But I think that by moving to more of a horizontal capability within architecture, it drives interoperability, or at least the ability to get to interoperability. And I think that you know, for the foreseeable future, the next 10 years, I think that interoperability of data is going to be our North Star. And I think that it's not going to be around big data that we've talked about for a few decades now. I think it's going to be about the small actionable data. And I think the architecture built out to complement that, that's more open architecture, will help bring and drive the value of that down to that small actionable data.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the next top three technology investments that customers should think about making in the next 12 to 18 months?
I think that they should think about what's my current environment, and then they should look at the problems to be solved. I think that we have to actually reverse our thought process on it and not think about the technology first, but actually really define what is the problem that we want to solve and what are those outcomes that I want. And I think the technology will actually back into that, and it'll pull an ecosystem approach to it. So it's really thinking about it from a solution mindset, but putting that problem first and then really defining what you want out of it first. And then anything you get additive out of that is just all cake.
Mm-hmm. And that really enhances Zebra's trusted advisor approach as well.
It really does. I mean, it fits really well with our core values and the way that we go to market today. And we have such a breadth of talent in the field, in the offices, across all those teams that you mentioned before that helped to help with that ideation session. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're actually positioned very well now and into the future for that. And I think that we just got to keep harnessing that DNA of being consultative and really developing those solution focus, whether it's all Zebra or it's part of our partner ecosystem from that approach, and really defining how we solve that problem together jointly with the customer and our partners.
We're getting ready soon to launch our third in a series of intelligent enterprise indexes. And I'm curious, what is your view on what it takes to be an intelligent enterprise?
I think it's enterprise awareness. And it's almost, if you look at it, and I'm a big emotional intelligence person, right? But I think the company as a whole has to be emotionally intelligent and be aware about what the weaknesses are in what they're doing today. And being able to look those in the face and figure out, how am I gonna solve for that, right? It's really easy to look at all the good things that are going on, but you also have to tackle the hard problems too. So I think that, you know, it's almost an awareness driving of that enterprise emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And that goes down to each individual too, right? So it's almost an organizational wide thing that you look at that. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's technology. I think it goes back to human relationships and how they look and be aware about what's going on in their different environments. And I think that that awareness, and it goes back to that young lady that had come over from a competitor into this retailer and started asking and really driving that awareness about, you know, what can we do jointly for our customers that's different, that's really gonna make impact into there and disrupt the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Not meet it and think about it, mm-hmm. and it'll be a me too, but really, how am I gonna disrupt and really make an impact to the value that I deliver to my customer? And I think that is really something you're gonna continue to evolve. I think that at Zebra, we do that today, right? We invest a lot in our culture and our human resources. And I think that we're a very intelligent organization. Mm-hmm. We still have room to grow, but you know, I think that we're continuing to go down that path, and I think that we're in a good position for it. But I think that if you think about, you know, the intelligent index, I think that would be definitely something that I would look forward.
Mm-hmm. And you make a great point. I mean, change management is one proof point within that index, right? And that is to the human side, as you were mentioning earlier.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting you bring up change management, because in what we do today in Savanna Data Services and Intelligent Ed Solutions is, you know, one of the first things that people ask is how much change management's involved in that, right? Because it's all new, right? We're creating a market, we're creating a space based upon our leadership and our core portfolio, right? Which gives us a right to play. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is that if you be very thoughtful about what that experience is and you kind of mitigate as much change management as you can and really make it thoughtful about how that process is gonna flow cognitively, I think that you're going to be more successful. And I think that we're doing that today. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be change management because it's all new. Let's not be shy about that.
Right.
But I think from a portion that you can mitigate it and look at it, but you're also aware that, hey, there is some change management component that's involved. We need to make sure that we have resources and awareness and focus on that when it does happen to make sure that that evolution can occur more seamlessly mm-hmm. and less painful.
Mm-hmm. Good point. When we do talk about the technology side of enterprise intelligence, we talk about Sense, Analyze, Act. Can you give us more details behind that?
Yeah, so Sense, Analyze, Act has been our framework. You know, it's basically since we came together as a company, right? And I think that, you know, if you think about enterprise asset intelligence, kind of those three layers, right? Sense is we've been doing that for 50 years, right? So if you look around the experience center that we sit in today, all these different devices have really built that foundation in that Sense layer. And now, with Savanna as our platform, we can drive the analyze part, right? Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is that we just made a really cool acquisition, ProfitTech. And the ProfitTech team is just laden with talent and capability. So I think that by moving that in and having a strategy to expand that as a horizontal capability across the platform is gonna really help us leverage machine learning, general AI, and all the different modeling that they've used from a very thoughtful approach to solve problems, mm-hmm. which goes back to what I said earlier.
Right.
And then really layer that across all of our core verticals and our go-to-market so that we can actually open up that architecture, as I mentioned before, mm-hmm. which allows for less technical debt, but also it unlocks the ability now from a platform perspective analyze to engage our customers and partners in different ways through Savanna Data Services and APIs that lets them use those as ingredients to solve for a bunch of new use cases that couldn't solve for before that are all data-centric and data-driven. Mm-hmm. And it's really thoughtful from an insight perspective, and then it's driving value from net new applications, or they're instilling and infusing new data enrichments through those APIs into current applications and driving further value into what that application's doing today in the environment. And then lastly, that Sense, Analyze, and Act part, ProfitTech brings some of that as well. They've got a full go-to-market strategy from an end-to-end solution. We also have that in our intelligent ed solutions too with SmartPack, MotionWorks Warehouse, and everything else that is coming out and to come out, right? Mm-hmm. That's in incubation today. So I think that we're covering all those different stripes. And then last and most importantly on that analyze part, Sense, Analyze, and Act, we have our partner community.
Right.
We have 10,000 talented partners. We have 2,400 ISVs. And I think leveraging that horsepower globally is going to help us win more and more and more. And I think that as we give them more capabilities, not only in the core portfolio as we continue to innovate there, but as we innovate on the cloud space with the platform and those different APIs as building blocks, we're going to be able to create and solve for new problems that we can never solve for before.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
When you put your futurist lens on, what are some of the game changers out there you see from a technology perspective?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things I always get asked about, just because I've been in the space for a couple decades now, even though the word is newer to some people, which mm-hmm. is the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. And I think that IoT, as it's commonly referred to, is the acronym Internet of Things. You know, having been instilled in the late 90s, is evolving, right? And RFID is finally taking off. Mm-hmm. So news flash to everybody on there, which is great, especially over in Asia Pac, right? We've seen some significant growth there. Also in EMEA, North America, and Latin America, really all the regions, right? And what's happening is this proliferation of instrumentation of the environment so that now you can take those different events and you can bring them up into real-time actions, right? Mm-hmm. So it really ties back to what we always talk about.
Right.
So it's not just vision, it's actually being executed on. So I think that the Internet of Things and the proliferation of RFID is actually putting us in place to what I referred to as before, which is that futuristic view, not so far out, about moving from big data to small actionable data. And it's really in a real-time fashion. I mean, IDC just came out with a white paper where the immense amount of data between now and into 2025 is going to get into the zettabytes, right? And that's really, you get to a new measurement, but the key critical thing around that is that they're predicting that 30% of all data is going to be consumed in real time. And what's interesting around that is that if you look at that from a futuristic standpoint and a strategy, you're going to move from 700 or 800 digital data engagements per day. Imagine that, right? I mean, some of us are looking at our phones or our devices when we're working. You've seen mobility be infused by it, by the way. our fault, right? We really removed people from desktop to mobile, so that's good. But now that next step is really going from desktop to mobility and now to data. And data becomes the new device from that standpoint. So you really look at it in a different way, and you kind of look at that as horizons. And people are along that way from a different customer journey from that point of view too. But it all starts with the instrumentation from that, and then you democratize the data, and then you create those new applications on top. So I think that if you look at it from that aspect, that's kind of the continuum that you're going to continue to see. And our huge growth is going to be in data, but it's going to pull all of our historical core portfolio.
Right, right. The start of the NFL season is among us, right? And it's exciting to see how the NFL even uses our data.
Yeah, it's interesting. First of all, go Bears. Just want to throw that out there.
All right.
From that perspective. But no, it's interesting. You know, I think that you're going to continue to see other areas outside of our core verticals that are going to want to utilize data and tracking in different ways. I think the NFL case, which, you know, we've had that relationship for over 5 years now, I believe. And I still remember I was in Ohio. It was on the USA Today. And I was at a courtyard, and I was getting ready to go out at a partner event and speak there. Mm-hmm. And there we were on the front page of the sports, right? In USA Today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this small company that's in everybody's lives now knows kind of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the NFL has given us a good voice in that aspect. And it's utilizing tracking technology that's been around in the automotive industry for decades, right?
That's right.
So I think that you're going to see those proliferation of new use cases around that. And I think the NFL is a good one in that. But I think that you're going to continue to see that, you know, with the Explorer acquisition into oil, energy, and gas. And I think that with ProfitTech, you know, driving that as a horizontal capability, I think that's going to open up some new sub verticals and categories that we can provide value in that we haven't provided before.
Mm-hmm. You're right, our initial NFL contract was 5 years, and we've just recently announced that we've extended it another 3 years.
Such a fantastic.
It's a great proof point and a great way to visibly see what we can do for companies across a multitude of industries.
That's right, and I mean, think about the NFL. It's one, if not the largest global brand in the entire world, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it, and you know, it continues to expand.
Right, right. Final set of questions for you, Drew. What advice do you have for companies that may feel like they're behind the technology curve?
Don't rate yourself on where you're at in technology. Rate yourself on what you're doing for your customers, your worker experience. But also, look at the roadmap that I talked about earlier, which is, what problems are you trying to solve for over the next 3 to 5 years? And if you're working towards those to drive a better customer experience, if you're interacting with customers or worker experience, then you're doing the right things. It just depends upon where you're at in that customer journey, and don't feel bad about it. You know, compare apples to apples, not oranges to apples from that session. So focus less on the technology, evolve your thinking and mindset into thinking about what problems are and the outcomes that you want to drive, and rank yourself on that. And as long as you're working towards those things, I think you can feel pretty good about where you're at.
So if they're not yet using blockchain or AI or even IoT, best next step?
So if you want to utilize those technologies, which are fantastic, they have an extreme amount of capabilities, but they're very, very specific use cases. And until you have defined what that problem is you want to solve, don't even start thinking about machine learning or blockchain or IoT. Now, I would tell you, IoT is probably something you want to think about because that's mobility, right? So that's mobile computers, that's scanners, that's our LinkOS printers, that's RFID, that's our location services sensors. So thinking about those definitely thing. If you don't have any of those in your environment today, you're probably behind. And you want to make sure that you're instrumenting out that lower layer, that sense layer, because you can't build, analyze, and act until you have the foundation. And the foundation's our core portfolio. And driving that in until you have that ability to transfer data into cloud and or on-prem, you know, from a security standpoint, you can't really move up into the upper echelon of driving those applications into consuming real-time data. So build out the instrumentation layer for sure.
Drew, you truly are an expert, and we appreciate your time today. Thank you for your expertise and your knowledge, and for joining us as our global futurist.
Thank you, Therese. Appreciate the time.